the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm glad God gave me a name.
Yeah.
Not just the name, but the name of my Savior. And his name is Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here. And it's a wonderful opportunity to serve God, travel for God, and live for God.
Yeah. Amen.
While many are so caught up with things and cares of this world, soon be gone. But what we do for God, we stand, remain forever and ever. I'm very grateful that God has given me a wife. That's my wife, Kristen. It's nice to marry somebody that loves God and pray with you. And it's a great encouragement to me. I prayed 5 years for a wife, and God put Kristen in my way. Unusual ways, but God will give you peace and provide what you need. I want to thank the pastor for giving me the opportunity to come and be here, and I am honored. I am honored. I wouldn't be here today. Can somebody tell me why? If there were no missions. I am here today because of a missionary. Many, many years ago, a teenager surrendered to serve God, and he crossed the ocean thousands and thousands of miles, went to New Guinea, Port Moresby, served God in the city of Port Moresby. And when he was in the city, he was attacked by criminals, cut his eyes up, and he had a reason to come home, United States, and forget about the mission field. But let me tell you what he did. He went back. And he went back, and God gave him a piece of property, a small town called Kerema.
Yeah.
A small piece of land. He put up, built a Christian school and a church. And guess who showed up for the Christian school? I showed up. Now, when you ask me what kind of background I grew up, my home was not, there was not a Bible in my home. I was grown up in a background that has nothing to do with God. I don't know who God was. I didn't know who Jesus Christ was. But if you ask me before then, I will tell you about my gods. But there were many of them.
Yeah.
They lived in stones, rivers, and skies.
Yeah.
But they were not real gods. My parents put me in Christian school under John and Mary Gray. I was not interested in Bible. I was not interested in church. I don't understand why. What made them put me in the Christian school? The first day I showed up in school, the missionary said, "There are rules in the Christian school." And I said, "What are the rules?" He said, "First, to be in this Christian school, you got to have a church. You got to go to every Sunday school. Main service, evening service, Wednesday service, and Saturday go out, pass out gospel tracts." I said, that was easy. I can do that. But I was still lost. 3 years I was in a Christian school, I would go out and give out gospel tracts, invite people to church, tell them about Jesus. But I myself, I was lost. You see how dangerous I was. But if it was within that 3 years, if I died, I would walk right through hell and regret it in my life. But God dealt with me. Every Sunday morning, I sat in the same pew. That was my favorite spot. I would show up every Sunday sitting there. Every time when missionary John Gray preached about salvation, gave an invitation, I was troubled. Part of me want to go forward, get saved. Part of me was, you don't need that. You don't need that. I struggled for 3 years. But one Sunday, I thought I would walk out the same. I sat on the same pew, missionary preached, and after invitation, he said, "Remember, God knows all about you. You can't fool God." He said, "There's a door behind you. You walk out the same door, something happens that quick, you will step in hell and you will regret. Right. Now that got really hard on me. And I knew that I was lost. I was not right with God. But God broke me that moment. I couldn't get up and walk out the way I used to. But I was playing a fool. I was just playing church. Church was over. Everybody left. I was the only one sat in the pew. Missionary walked down to me and said, "Do you need anything?" I was broken in my soul. And look up, the missionary said, "I'm lost. I want to get saved. Get right with God." That day I got saved. And I am here today. And I have no regrets. God saved me, brought me to this country, gave me the opportunity, a lot of opportunity to serve Him. And I am here today. God don't just save you and keep you there, collect dust. God will save you, and the next thing He will do, He will take you to places, and He will use you. I'm so glad I'm saved, and I save the Almighty God. How firm the foundation? The foundation in God and in Jesus Christ. We are missionaries going back to Papua New Guinea. I am from Papua New Guinea, born and raised there. I've been in the state for 10 years now. And my wife and I just got married. Two things you know about us is, first thing is, if you want to know all about Papua New Guinea, ask my wife. Second thing is, we got married February 29th. That was the only day that they had opened in that venue. And a lot of people said, "Sorry, you're going to miss every year of your anniversary." I said, "Saves me money for missions." Take your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 51, verse 17. I will talk about the sacrifice of God and missions. But before I do that, I just want you to hold your place in there, and I'm going to go through the I have a slideshow up here. A slideshow kind of gives you an idea of the background I came. And it kind of tells us a little about what we're going to do in Papua New Guinea. And we are missionaries to Papua New Guinea. My name is Joshua. My wife's name is Kristen. And God has blessed us in our wedding, in our marriage. And we are expecting the third one. We're expecting the third part of our family. But it won't be here till December the 27th. So I hope you pray for my wife. We don't know if it's a boy or girl. If it's boy, I'm happy. If it's a girl, I'm happy. Oh, I found it. This is the prayer card. And this verse, Isaiah 6:8. Since I got saved, and after a year after I got surrendered serving missions and back in New Guinea, and this verse kind of makes me wonder, kind of makes me see the need and to know that God want to use us. You see, the way I look at it is I wouldn't be here today if there was no missionary. So there would be somebody that is waiting to hear. It could be you to prepare the next person. So God used John Gray to reach me. And now I know God will use me to reach somebody else. And the way God makes it possible for me to go back to New Guinea is because I can speak New Guinea better than I'm doing in English. English is a hard language. I'm still learning. Someday I'll get there. We are working under Global Outreach Missions. They are based in under First Baptist Church of Springboro, Ohio. So they are pretty close to us where we live. And since I gave, God gave me a church that I work with since I was in college, the second year that I was in state. I came to the state in 2011, and 2012, God gave me this church. It's a Sugar Run Valley Baptist Church, right outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. And the church has been a big help to us. I could have not done without them. Missions. In missions, there are people, there are prayers. Missions need people, prayers. Missionaries need a lot of prayers. So I hope you remember us, grab our card, and pray for us. It could be that time that God give you opportunity to bring us here, that we have a need. And it could be your prayers that will move the ministry over New Guinea. You might never see the results, but someday you will see. It takes giving. It's a very sensitive part when we talk about giving. But it honors God when you give. Next thing is go. Thank God there are people that God calls to give. Met our missionary friends here going to Papua New Guinea, Koti Danga, Kaintiba, right below my home village. I'm very grateful for them going there. I'm very grateful for all the missionaries serving in Papua New Guinea, and they make difference. And missions is a work. You say, you just see a missionary show up in your church. But to raise support and travel with your wife, travel for hours, sleep in a motel a short time, and get up and travel, it's a work. Go back in the mission field. You got work. Work. You ask me, when does it stop? Until Jesus Christ come back. Amen. But we never give up. Mark 16:15, the Bible says, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The key thing is the gospel. Who needs the gospel? Every creature. Every man or woman that is breathing. Papua New Guinea is right above Australia. Some of you have been to Papua New Guinea, and some of you have never been to Papua New Guinea. But if you know your geography in high school, you're okay. for some reason, this is not working. Oh, okay. This is Australia here. This is Papua New Guinea, right here. And a bigger picture, this is Port Moresby, and we will be right here, serving the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, when we don't know the next step where God will take us, but we are willing to go and serve God. Port Moresby is the biggest capital city. It holds the half population of Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea is growing, multicultural. We have Asians. That means we have Chinese restaurants there too. We have Americans. They're working on getting hamburgers there. Yes. But we do have hot dogs too, so you'll be okay. Papua New Guinea holds about $400,000. Yeah, 400,000 people, and everybody just kind of come into the city to shop or to do business. So it's like a key place in the city. So if somebody come from a rural place and comes to the city, get saved, and you follow up, you go there, you already have beginning to start a church. Now, this is a school that I went to. This was a Christian school that I was part of growing. I had the opportunity to grow in this school. It was an AC school run by the missionaries, Grace. It was really, really good opportunity that I had, that God provided this. This is me right here. After done with the Christian school, I served God in the Christian school with the missionaries, worked as a monitor, and did a part-time preaching and outreaches and going out. The first year that after I got saved, working in the mission work around the community, it was a rough experience. People make fun of me and laugh, and it was tough. I could have gave up and never went that far for God, but I'm glad God gave me grace to move forward. And after that, I could see it today and how God has blessed serving God. Kind of reminds me that every time when you serve God, when things get difficult, don't give up. God is trying to do something else. And God will bless your faithfulness and our faithfulness. We serve a living God, and He's a good God. Our mission work over in Papua New Guinea is to win the lost, preach, share the gospel. My wife will work with the children there. English is not a problem because a lot of the government schools, they all talk in English. And we are not allowed to speak our own dialect when we're in school in New Guinea. You have to speak English and write English. And if you speak your own dialect in the classroom, you get in trouble. So that, which is good, kind of help. So I want to say English is not a problem. But over in New Guinea, it's an opportunity. You can preach, you can teach Bible in any government schools or any government program without being put in jail. So God gave us the freedom. Missionaries need financial prayer partners, and we are looking for financial partners. Men and women and young people who will get our prayer card, who will remember us and pray for us. We might never put our feet back in this church, but we don't know what God has for us. But your part in helping us will make a difference. And it will glorify and honor God and reach some other Papua New Guineans. And we never know what God holds for us. But we just following God and moving by faith what we can see. But we don't see the whole picture. Amen. We might planning on going to New Guinea, but God might say, no, go to Indonesia. Or maybe go to, I don't know where God is going to lead. But we are trusting God by faith and moving forward as He will lead and use us. This City Start said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Do you believe that? Every other thing will pass, but only what you do for Christ, only what you do in the name of God, it's not a waste. Right. Don't waste it. Amen. It will last forever. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a wonderful privilege and opportunity to live for God, to live for Christ, but to know that you're going to die, but you're going to die in flesh and bone, not in spirit. Right. You die a dead physical body, but soul will rejoice in heaven. Yeah. Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here. And I pray that you help me as I share a short message tonight. I pray that you will help me. I pray that you will empty me of self. And I pray and ask for your Holy Spirit to use me as you see fit tonight. I thank you for all the church families here tonight. I thank you for the men and women who showed up. And I pray that you bless them tonight. Lord, thank you for your grace. And thank you for your love.
And thank you for the salvation you provided for us, Lord. Bless your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got 3 points before I will. So you're good. I won't hold you long. The sacrifices of God and missions. The most important fact determining the quality of our relationship with the Lord is the condition of our heart. It's the condition of our heart. Now, what the Psalm says about the conditions of our heart? Psalm 51, verse 17, the Bible says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. I broke them down in 3 pieces. The first part, the sacrifices of God, it talks about formalism. And the next middle part of that is a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite. A broken spirit and a broken is talks of repentance. And the third part is the contrite heart. Contrite heart, I looked up in a Latin. The final meaning is, I came across a word that says, ground down. Ground down. G-R-O-U-N-D and down. D-O-W-N. A broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. We want to be sure if our hearts are tender and pure, so the Lord can clearly direct us to His will concerning our part in the great commission He has given to us as a church. I always emphasize about the scripture that God commanded that involves with missions. It don't say missions, but it gives the idea. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19-20. I'm sure all of us know this scripture from heart. Now, in this event, when Jesus, he died, he rose again, and after when he rose again, he met with the disciples. Chapter 28, I'll start from 15. I'll start from 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. That's a problem in there. That's a problem. Sometimes that is our problem there. See, they've seen him, they've heard about him, and they met with him. But they still doubted. My friend, that's our problem right there. So my question to me and to us is that, are you still doubting God about the will of God? Are you still doubting about the grace of God? Are you still doubting about the work of God in missions? We shouldn't be doubt about it. Because we are sure, we know it, we've seen it, we've read it, we know it. We know the right thing that God wants us to do. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, I like this part. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, could you find somebody that has all power? Power over all this country. And power over heaven. It's not the Mr. President. It's not a Pope.
Yes, yes,
it's not Muhammad.
That's right.
It's not Allah. But it's Jesus Christ.
Hey, that's a good picture.
Can you imagine? He said, I have the all power.
Yes, sir.
How much can you want to understand that? He said, power in heaven and power in earth. Whew. That has a lot of things in right there. We can stand here and just talk about the power in heaven. We can stand here and just talk about power on earth. We see things that we see today on earth, what's going on, but we don't really understand who has the power on earth. He's the one that created the earth, and he's the one who has the power over it. Everything we see today is just a surface. You move with the things that happen in the surface.
Come on now. Preacher.
Have you forgotten who made the earth? Still has the power? He said someday he's going to destroy it, then he will rebuild it again.
Yeah.
And when he rebuild it again, that's for us.
Amen.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah.
I can just camp in here, but I got to go. He said, and then he says, go in therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lord, I am with you always, even unto the end. The last phrase about is, he said, I am with you. When I travel back tomorrow on that car and travel down this crazy New York traffic, I know there's only one person that is with me. I know my wife is with me. But I know that somebody more better than my wife. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and his presence is with me.
Yeah.
And gives me confidence to drive, but to stay on the speed limit.
Yeah.
Aren't you happy that he said that I am with you?
Yes, sir.
I am with you. When I'm walking, somebody's with me.
Yes, sir.
When I'm going, when I'm sleeping, when I'm traveling, when I'm going for missions, when I'm praying, when I'm studying, when I'm serving God, he is with me.
Yeah.
Don't you dare serve God and say nobody is with me.
Yeah.
But serve God, know that God is with you.
Yeah.
And he is there, and he is traveling with you.
Yeah.
You know what makes me go back to New Guinea to serve God? Because he said he would be with me. My body might be touched with some kind of virus. People might attack me. But that is just a surface. But my soul will glory in the glory in the presence of God. That's us. The devil may touch our surface like he did Job. Job. The devil touched the surface. But he was strong that nothing moved him.
Right.
What if the devil touched you? Would you still move? But would you stand as I know my God is still with me? Because he promised. Because I know he promised. He promised that he will.
Amen.
3 points. Let's look at a broken and contrite heart. My first point about to have a broken and contrite heart means my own self importance is God.
Yep.
It's not about me.
Yep.
About me was the past when I got saved. It was no more about me.
Yeah, right.
When I got saved, it's all about God.
Yeah.
And the Lord Jesus Christ, he can do whatever he wants to do because I belong to him. He can use me, and it's all about him.
Yeah.
My friend, if he showed up this evening and said it's all about you, you are wrong. Before you go back to bed, pray, get on your knee, pray to God and say, God, I'm sorry. It's not about me.
Yes.
It's about you.
Amen.
Because when he saved you,
It was long ago yours. It belongs to him. And he will form you. He will direct you. He will shape you. He will use you until when he calls you home. Glory, glory to God. Your mission is done.
You fired me up, preacher.
That's why John said, he must increase.
Yes.
I must decrease. John said it right. My friend, my brothers and sisters, it's not about going to New Guinea. It's not about Joshua and Christian. We're nothing. But it's about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God can use Christian more than he will use me. God can use me more than he used Christian. God can use anybody. There is no trouble in God.
Amen.
The only trouble is you.
Yes.
The only trouble is me.
Yes.
You see, the 11 disciples showed up to see Jesus, but some still doubted. And that's our enemy, doubt. The second point is, a broken, contrite heart means I no longer treat the things of God frivolously. I value the things of God more highly. The things of God. That is where my heart is centered. That is where my mind is centered. The things of God. I care about things of God more than any other things in this world.
Yeah,
to have a contrite, to have a broken and a contrite heart. You know, the reason why we have missions today, why the entire whole world is rich, is because the New Testament church, the word of God more seriously, they took the world. My friend, because of them, they took more serious in God's word, the command, go eat. That's the reason why I'm here. That's the reason why you're here today. You see, they even gave their lives. They even gave their lives for service. It's better to give your life for God. It's better to give it to him. And it's better to give it up for him. It's okay. Because that was what I was meant for. Anything in this world. A last point. A broken, contrite heart means no more hypocrisy in my life. No hypocrisy. A broken vessel reveals what is inside. A broken heart reveals what is in the heart. The only way the Holy Spirit fills us, empowers us, and uses us if our heart and faith is genuine. You can't see the vessel that the foul vase is sitting on top of. You can't see it until it is broken. You don't know what's inside, but once it's broken, you will find out. Remember the story about Mary Magdalene? She had a very high, expensive perfume. But she broke it for Jesus Christ. She broke it for the Maker. She broke it for her Maker. She broke it for her Lord. And she broke it for her Creator. And the odor, it smells, it did glorify. Sometimes broken for the Lord is not easy. But when it's broken, it reveals what's inside. But the problem is the broken, contrite heart is not something I can work up. It's not something that you can work up to. It is something that God must do for me, for us, for you. Only if we seem more humble ourselves before the Lord and confess, repent of our sin and yield our will to his, allow him to direct us. My question is, do I have a broken heart? Do I have a contrite spirit? The command still stands. Sometimes people look at missionaries and say, why wasting your time? But they don't see the beauty and the glory of serving the Lord. I'm seeing some young people in this church. But there will be some people when God get a hold of them and use them in the future. I've seen an older man in here. There are some. When God get a hold of them, it will be something that only God can accomplish, only God can do in our life. But I like the promise that God said, you go, I will be with you. So when I'm serving God, I have no regret. I know the maker and the creator, the one that holds power in heaven and power on earth. There are no other powers. Any other powers is just to try and test us. Well, I only know who holds the real power and authority. The ends and the beginnings of everything is the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing that reminds me, the end of Revelation, when you read the last chapter and the end of the verse, he says, of all those things that have been written, he said, do quickly before I come. And the Lord, I come quickly. This could be a nice opportunity of preaching here. And if Jesus shows up, that is the only part that I've done to glorify him. And I will be rewarded of what I've done today. But we never know when Jesus Christ is coming back. But he promised that he would come back. And when he comes back, there is no more mission field. There is no more giving. There is no more sending. There is no more praying. There is no more church. No more choir. It will be all God. But aren't you glad God has given us a time and an opportunity? My friend, what a privilege, an honor, and a blessing. The period of time that God has given us. We might see the Zephyrs and be afraid of what's going on in the Zephyrs. But when we know who are living, who we are living, who are we working, who are we serving, when we know our Lord Jesus Christ, who holds the power of heaven and earth, and he is in control of everything, we should never be afraid. Because God promised us. What a privilege to serve God in missions. I have no regret. I'm glad. I'm happy. This is what God wants us to do. But we cannot live, go, we cannot serve without our help and prayers. There are a lot of people in this room, but I will request, if there are 10 or 20 people that would pray for us, you don't have to raise your hand. Are there 20 or 30 people who would pray for us every day that we would get to the mission field and preach the gospel and see people saved, church established, and honor God and glorify? God will bless you. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share tonight. I thank you for the privilege. Lord, use it. Go beyond and abroad and do all the amazing things only you can do. I pray that somebody that is not saved today, may this be the day. I pray if somebody be challenged to serve God, somebody is going through a difficult time, Lord, remind them, remind us. I thank you for this opportunity. I pray in Jesus' name. Pastor.
Here come, I don't know about you, but it's pretty convicting. Pretty convicting.